The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, I'll say a really warm welcome to everybody. It's really a delight to see you all. And tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about, I was doing some reading and I stumbled upon this poem that probably all of us know this poem. Even if you don't know the exact words, you know the gist of it. Most likely, if you've been around the meditation scene for some time, you know how there's certain things that just kind of get recycled or, you know, for some time. And so, but this time I was looking at it with a little bit different eyes. And I saw something that I hadn't seen before or I hadn't remembered. And I think that maybe I'll pull this out and we'll play with that this evening. So this poem is by Rumi. Maybe that's not surprising. And the poem is Guest House. Probably many of you are familiar with this one. And if not, here it is. Here's a poem. For those of you who don't know Rumi, I think he's 13th century Persian poet. And he writes, well, he didn't write this. Of course, it's translated into English. I think this is Coleman Barks is the translator. This human being is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whomever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So this poem often is said by mindfulness teachers as a way to practice equanimity with whatever arises and to maybe shift our relationship to what's arising, thinking that, oh, I don't want this, make this go away. But instead to welcome whatever arises because it has arisen after all, right? It's not like our pushing it away can make it go away. It just strengthens this aversive pushing away energy. But this one line in here that I hadn't really paid attention to before, it says this, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. So Rumi was not a Buddhist poet, but this whole, so he wasn't necessarily pointing to exactly equanimity, but this idea of meet them at the door laughing. So for me, I'm interpreting this as with some joy in our hearts, with some happiness, with some, okay, come on in. You know, this kind of a feeling of, not a cool stoicism, but some warm-heartedness. Some, oh, you again? Okay, here we go. And there have been times in my meditation practice where there was, you know, just the repeated kind of these uncomfortable sensations and experiences. And when I would go on long retreats, they would get often really intense, you know, and arrive every day, at least once, if not, you know, I would go like through a season on long retreats, maybe weeks of all these really uncomfortable things arising. And then I realized, oh, okay, so is there a way in which I can shift my relationship with them? And I was trying so hard to shift my relationship to them, but not noticing that the way that I was interacting with them is I was interacting with them so that they would go away So the aversiveness was kind of hidden. I was fooling myself, thinking that I was trying to meet them with equanimity. But what I wasn't doing is having some warm-heartedness. This isn't easy, and it's not our first response usually, but this can happen. We can meet things that are uncomfortable with some warm-heartedness, some openness, some maybe it's not happiness, but it's maybe a little bit of delight, like, okay, this is, I guess, what I'm going to work with now. And one way in which we can help increase the likelihood or the ease with which we can do that with some of our difficulties is with loving kindness practice. So often when I'm teaching loving kindness practice, you know, I'm teaching kind of like the conventional or classical way, and that we start with the lovable being, and then we go to ourselves, and then now we go to a neutral being. And sometimes, right, we can go on to a difficult being. But we can also do loving kindness to phenomena, to experience, just in the same way that we would with an individual. So I'd like to encourage us to play around with that and to explore with that this evening. So I think that we'll start with doing loving kindness for a lovable being. I really like to start this way. It's kind of a way to nourish and support us to rest in that experience of having loving kindness where it's easy. And then open it up to not to other people necessarily, but to other experiences. And see how that is to meet our experiences with a sense of warm-heartedness. Okay, so with that as an introduction, so we can take an alert, upright posture. Maybe we'll just feel into the experience of what it's like to be here right now in a global sense, just keeping the awareness broad. Maybe feeling into the general mood. Maybe feeling into the general sensations in the body. Then it might be that we notice different areas of the body that are a little more obvious, a little more compelling. Feeling the pressure of the chair, cushion. Feeling the body breathing. What does it feel like to have an inhale? Maybe the chest moves, maybe the abdomen moves. Maybe you feel it, the air going in and out of the nose. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations of breathing. When the mind wanders, with a kind-hearted, gentle manner, just begin again with the experience, the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy and complicated to feel this warm-heartedness, care, respect, goodwill, benevolence. Maybe it's an imaginary, endearing being. Kittens, puppies, babies. Maybe it's somebody you know. And bringing this lovable being to mind, we can start our loving kindness practice by saying the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. The allowing ourselves to rest in this well-wishing. And this warm-heartedness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can check into the experience in the body and see if there is any openness, spaciousness, ease, warmth. It might be subtle. It might be just a small portion of your experience. But can you allow that those sensations, that experience to support you? Still keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then can we build upon this foundation of loving kindness, this warm-heartedness, And use this for other experiences that we're having. Might experiment with you noticing that sensation in the knee. Maybe saying the words or somehow a movement of the heart that says, welcome. Doesn't mean that it's your favorite thing. Doesn't mean it matches your preferences. But it is already there. It's already been in the guest house. It's already being experienced. Saying welcome, maybe to the in-breath. Welcome to the out-breath. Or maybe there's a word other than welcome. Something like the Rumi poem, to meet them at the door laughing. Whatever it is. Can we extend some warm-heartedness to our experiences? In a relaxed, easy way. And if this feels too complicated or too busy, or of course, you're welcome to do the more classical loving kindness practice. Noticing the sound, the movement of the heart that says, welcome. Noticing some irritation, welcome. noticing some settling. Welcome. And if you find it helpful, you can begin again with loving kindness for the lovable being. And allow yourself to be filled up with this warm wishes. You find yourself getting lost in thought, and maybe the inner critic arrives. Maybe not. But if so, can you do loving kindness for yourself? Or compassion practice for yourself? And then let's end with some equanimity practice. So for this practice, you can bring to mind somebody that you care about, you have a relationship with, and they are mildly irritating, annoying sometimes. Not the most difficult person. And for equanimity practice, we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of meeting whatever arises with as much warm-heartedness or as is available, without repressing, without denying, without pretending like it isn't difficult, but instead kind of undo that pushing away energy, that kind of movement of the mind, or this kind of this not wanting it to be there. In some ways, this getting tangled up with the experience just allows the experience to stay there. But if we can have some warm-heartedness, this helps kind of the experience to arise and to pass away and to go through, to go through our experience, as opposed to getting stuck. So tonight's meditation, we did kind of like a real mixture there, right? It's a little bit of mindfulness and then some more classical loving kindness, and then mindfulness and loving kindness blended together, meeting your experience with kind of this expression, welcome, or if not the actual word, maybe that stance. And then coming back and doing some equanimity practice. So it can be really helpful to talk with others about either this whole idea of meeting our inner life, our emotions, with meeting them at the door, laughing, welcome them in, even if they are difficult. And or you could talk about what was it like to kind of like mix up these different practices. Or maybe for you, it didn't feel like they were mixed up. It was just like a one natural extension. So I'm going to put you into groups of three or four. And we'll do this in such a way that the first person speaks, that they can just say not everything that they have to say on this topic, but just one thing that they have to say. And then it can go to the next person, and then the next person, and then the next person. Then it comes around to the first person again. And they might have heard something that reminds them of something new. So it's not a usual kind of conversation that you might have over a cup of coffee. Instead, it's doing some listening practice, as well as a community. Whether that's intentional or not, there's something can be created and built together as we listen and talk with one another. So you'll have 14 minutes. And let's do it. Who's going to go first is by the last digit of your favorite phone number. That is the phone that you use the most. For many people, it's a cell phone, not everybody. So if the last digit is a 1, you would go first. And if it's a 0, you go last. And if more than one person has the same digit, then you can do the second to last digit as a way to break the tie there. And if it gets too complicated figuring out all the numbers, you can just choose however you want to go. Okay, so have fun. Welcome back. Welcome back. So we just have a little time here. If somebody would like to make a comment or share something about the small groups discussions. Nancy, yes.
Well, my small group was lovely. I was with the women from Sydney.
Oh, nice.
It was lovely to talk to them. But I really wanted to thank you for bringing in the amount of poetry you do to our practice. I am a poetry fan and a poetry writer, and I love that you bring it in. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Yeah, sometimes, right. I don't know what to do, but that's nice to hear. Thank you. Thank you.
I certainly support Nancy in that. I enjoy the poignancy of poetry, and I felt that that was very apropos. And for me, it really was very meaningful. So I thank you very much, Diana.
You're welcome, Diana. I like saying that. You're welcome, Diana. Wow. Okay. It's the top of the hour already. So wishing you all a wonderful rest of your evening. If you're in this time zone, our friends in Sydney, I guess they have the rest of their afternoon. And then I'm just going to say a little 30-second thing, an encouragement to, you know, we still have time to get organized for voting on November 3rd. So take the time to figure out where you're going to vote, how you're going to vote, and familiarize yourself with the issues. I think just want to encourage us all to do that. So I'll unmute us all so that we can say goodbye. And it's lovely to see you all. Bye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, Barbara.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.